141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a huge weekend of Cup and League action. It's Rangers against Celtic round two. Who goes through? What impact does last week have? And what bearing does the outcome have on the title race? Falkirk Dundee United first up tonight, aiming for a spot at Hampden, with Dunfermline Aberdeen and St Mirren Partick Thistle also aiming for the semi-finals. And in the Premiership, can Motherwell win their game in hand to go 1, 2 and 7 points respectively behind the top three? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
A handful of matches, Gordon, but endless possibilities. Motherwell, do I need to remind you of all people, can go a point behind Rangers if they beat Dundee on Tayside tomorrow. And how about a Scottish Cup semi-final, last four of Falkirk, Dunfermline, Partick Thistle and one member of the Old Firm. And in conclusion, if Martin O'Neill can say today in his press conference that Celtic are miles away from winning anything, how badly does that reflect on the people who run the club and had to run to Martin to find a human shield?
Scottish Cup weekend, Rangers and Celtic battle out again. This time there'll be a winner, and I'm just looking at the other ties, whoever comes through them. If they manage to avoid whoever the winner is on that day, they'll be thinking they'll have a good chance at Hampden. Motherwell, as Hugh says, a chance to go a point behind Rangers, all to play for it, with a difficult game away to Dundee. So really looking forward to it. Will there be changes in the team? What have we learned from both halves last week? Really, really intriguing one.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. Let's hear from you. Your last chance to build up to all the cup games this weekend. And I've got a funny feeling the one at Ibrox will dominate the phone line. So what are you thinking there? What bearing does last week have? It's quite simple. If you're Rangers, you need to replicate the first half. If you're Celtic, you need to replicate the second. So what gives? What impact does last week have? Who has the upper hand based on that? What differences do you think you'll see, as Scott Allen alludes to, whether that's team selection or tactics? And does the outcome on Sunday have any bearing whatsoever on the destination of the Scottish Premiership title? Those would be your big, broad questions to both sets of fans. In terms of the specifics, Kasper Schmeichel's back in about the mix. Does Sinisalo Salo continue? Benjamin Arthur, Austin Trusty, which one of them gets the nod at the back? Would you do anything else different with the Celtic team? Rangers fans, a lot of food for thought after the second half there last week as well. You've had the longer rest this week. I don't know if that counts for anything, but give us a call. 0141 951 1025. And loads of other ties to get through, as well as Motherwell playing their game in hand.
Well, that's a huge game in hand, because it will have so much bearing on Motherwell's chances of being involved in this title race all the way. Dundee, Stephen Presley has done a magnificent job. No one wanted him, and he has defied the critics. They will be good opposition. I won't say formidable opposition for Motherwell, but it's another test of Mercedes Jens. As for the impact the Old Firm Cup tie might have on the remainder of the season, I'm not sure that it will, unless one of them took an awful hammering at Ibrox on Sunday, in which case there's a natural fallout from that game. But I think Hearts, Celtic, Rangers, Motherwell, in that order as they are now, have 9 separate entities in front of them between now and May.
It speaks to the high stakes and the drama around the place, Scott Allen, that these sides are going to meet for the second time in a week. And rather than being boring or repetitive, it's anything but. It's just added to the intrigue. You've got the reference point from last week. You've got the fact that it is a different competition. You've got the fact that there's a very different away allocation. Somehow it's got more interesting in the space of a week.
It really has. I think the allocation obviously adds to that, especially from a Celtic view. They'll think they'll be going there and give their team a real bang, especially after winning during the week in the second half performance against Rangers. Rangers, on the other hand, different. They'll have to show a different mentality for 45 minutes. You're looking at that half time last week, saying there's no way they can lose this game as long as they keep that intensity up. The problem was Celtic adapted and Rangers couldn't keep that intensity. It started to drop off. It started to panic on the ball, and Celtic found their way back into the game. So Danny Rowe has had a full week to work out how he's going to hurt this Celtic side. And Celtic have just been away to Stuttgart, away to Ibrox, away to Aberdeen. It does take its toll. Kieran Tierney looks like he could be a doubt for the weekend as well, who's been on the score sheet the last two games for Celtic. So it's just such an intrigue for me in terms of how both teams are going to set up. I think looking at it from afar, I think Danny Rowe will match up. I don't think you'll see the two up top when the Deary, and I would expect Diamandé to come back into the team from the start. So what a weekend of football again, and this seems to be week in, week out we're getting this with Scottish football this moment.
It's incredible, Hugh, how, like we said to Scott there, the stakes have just, not so much the stakes have gone up because it is a different competition, but just the layers of intrigue around this one, they just keep, we can always add something new every time they meet.
Kieran Tierney, for example, very important to Celtic. He's the second best goal threat they've got after Benjamin Nyren. So that, again, speaks to awful transfer business on Celtic's part. Just every game, as I say, they're separate entities. This one on Sunday, of course, is back to the separate life form, not just a separate entity. When you're asking Celtic fans to be in that ground at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they might not get out until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think that's a bit much. Nothing to do with Rangers, but I think that's a bit much.
Who's the favourite on Sunday?
I think Rangers will be the favourite, being the home team. They'll look at the first half performance. Celtic, as I touched on there, about the three really difficult games in the space of a week, which you would think it might have some sort of impact. I think for me, Rangers are favourites going into the game.
I think Celtic, having won in Stuttgart, having drawn with Rangers after being two down and beaten Aberdeen at Pittodrie, have built up at least a kind of inner strength about them, but they're nowhere as good as Rangers, I don't think.
Based on
that first half at Ibrox last Sunday was scary.
What about the second half though?
Well, yeah, that's Rangers' fault.
You could say the first was Celtic's fault then.
Yeah, but yeah. I think
it's about both, I think.
Rangers looked very impressive, looked far too strong for Celtic, and their physicality, and Chermiti, when he plays against Celtic or Hearts, comes alive. Celtic don't have a goal threat.
What's the measurement though? Because now Celtic are above Rangers in the title as well. I mean, I'm not going to pretend I would accurately predict the outcome of this game, but to say right now that, you know, Rangers are definitely better than Celtic when they sit below them in the table.
Yep. I just look at the personnel that Rangers have to draw on, and the personnel that Martin O'Neill has been stuck with. I just think that if Rangers go in front this time, Celtic won't come back.
But then again, Celtic did everything in the second half that the Rangers did. Those personnel were still there. Yeah, Chermiti and Cole were still available to Rangers in the second half last week.
In no way do I feel that Rangers are miles ahead of Celtic. I think they've been more, you could say they've been more consistent since Danny Rowe has came in. But the football's been more pragmatic. I think Celtic's second half, because I did think after the first 45 minutes, there's no way they came back. The fact that they did came back, dominated the game. So Hatate had a massive impact on that, and so did Tonetke. I think you got to give them credit for that, because Dave Murray as well has a mistake in the first half. Second half, I thought he was excellent. So you have to give them credit, and then to follow that up at Aberdeen with another win. There's not a huge difference between both sides at this moment, and it's very hard for us to sit here and call how this game is going to go. It could be, again, just down to the tactical tweets from either manager, and on the day, just down to individual brilliance. Chermiti thinks he's probably going to go on and get a hat-trick in that game. Celtic just took all that away from Rangers in the second half.
Do you expect Rangers to make big changes given what happened in that second half, or do you revert? Hughes reverting to the first as the sort of standout bit. I wonder how Danny Rule feels.
It's a hard one to call because, listen, football is a 90-minute game, 45 minutes, they were excellent. The second half, the drop-off would have been worrying for Danny Rowe. There's no getting away from it. I did think there was still some good performances within that. Mikey Moore goes from 45 minutes to just being a constant threat, playing with real intent, to second half, hardly get a touch of the ball. And that came down to Rangers. They looked nervous. I felt they sensed a bit of nervousness in the crowd. That Chermiti back heel, it's a huge turning point in the game.
The one where he just flicks it in midfield and then... Celtic break. It was funny that you say that, because Celtic kind of never looked back after picking up that loose ball, did they?
The reaction from the fans when that happened, right in the middle of the park, was it was quite scary to see how Rangers performed after.
Right, let's get stuck in. Graham is first through as a Rangers fan. Graham, what's the main feeling about this meeting of the two?
Looking forward to it, because I think we can take, I think Shu got it right. I think our first half performance was better than Celtic. I know Celtic were better the second half, but if you take the two performances, I think yours was better. But I think we need to make changes. We need to get Suter out, and I would drop Raskin. I'd put Diamandi in. I'd put Still into centre-half and Big Tav back, because Meadle will probably play through in the middle and just shake up a bit, because I think Big Suter's been having a nightmare for weeks.
I just love that opening. There are no bounds to the bragging rights that we do in this city. Our half was better than theirs.
Again, I go back to personnel. Having complimented Celtic, to go to a Bundesliga club and win, to be two down at Ibrox and not lose, and to go to Aberdeen and win there as well, I compliment Celtic. I just think that Martin O'Neill does not have a squad as strong in depth as the one that Danny Rule has. If he wants to make changes, Danny Rule, then he can. Martin O'Neill has to be very careful, because you take away Benjamin Nygren, it's frightening, the lack of firepower that Celtic have. As I say, Kieran Tierney scored at Ibrox and at Pittodrie, and looked more threatening than anybody else up front.
I mean, Graham, I don't know if an argument about whose half was better is a good use of our time, but there wouldn't have been that much in it, right? Can we sort of agree on that? Rangers good first half, Celtic good second. So what makes you think that you can go back to the first half and sort of replicate that and not have to worry about how poor it was after the break?
Because I think they'll realise what they've done wrong and they'll put it right. I think they'll be working all week on it. And the drop-off was massive, but I don't think that would happen again. I think that was just, I don't know what they've done, but I don't think we helped them either. But nails as the fans, I know.
Mm-hmm. There'll be more Celtic fans in this time.
Yeah. Well, as much as we can say that the drop-off from Rangers, Celtic will have looked at that first half and they would do everything to make sure that doesn't happen to them again. There's not going to be, they obviously dropped Hatate down, and him and Callum McGregor are a lot closer to each other. I've seen that during the week, and there was some nice bits of play between both of them. But Hugh's right, they do lack firepower. For me, Maeda will be the guy to go through the middle, not because he's in great form, but because he's the only guy you can really press with any sort of intensity.
You think of that room loan stand, what was it, 2018, the last time they had 7,500 people in it. You think of that stand and you see Odson Edouard scoring, or you see Dembele scoring, or you see Kyogo scoring, or whatever. Now Martin O'Neill, Schwanchara again at Pittodrie, not for me. Good luck to Yang, his 100th game, but nah.
Scored in the fixture this season.
Yeah, and a terrific goal it was.
You go James Forrest from the start, but,
I don't think James can go from the start.
Did the press today, which used to be a clue, now I'm not so convinced, but just as an aside.
He makes his contribution, but his contribution can only be in short, sharp bursts. Celtic, for me, just it's the lack of strength and depth that really must worry Martin O'Neill.
What's the impact on the title race, Graham? Is there any?
No, I don't think so. No. It's a one-off, isn't it? No, I don't think so.
What about the kind of look, there's always pressure on both all the time. Talk to us specifically about Rangers though, because Danny Rule obviously came in and improved things and did a good job, got pretty close, but that gap's now opened up a bit more to Hearts. Celtic are now above you. For the loser of this, is, you know, there's a potential that you're looking at a trophyless season. How much pressure's on him?
I don't think there'll be any pressure on him, does it?
None.
Of course
it is. He's brought in four players and three of them are quite good. So all the loan players and all that will all be gone. This year was just do what you can and now, get us to the end of the season, then we'll sort it out in the summer.
I don't think the atmosphere at Ibrox will not. Full time, Rangers 0, Celtic 3. I don't think you'll hear an atmosphere of, this season was just about trying to stay in touch and we'll go again next season.
They got a 2-2 draw last Sunday, and the first caller said, roll out.
Which wasn't necessarily right either.
No, but there's massive pressure. I always go back to the late, great Walter Smith's quote, "You don't feel anything at time up other than relief that it's all over." And he was arguably the best manager Rangers ever had.
Because the problem, to be fair, with the word pressure, Scott, is it's become synonymous with losing of jobs. I'm not for one second going anywhere near that. What I'm asking is, what is the pressure for Graham to say none? That's unthinkable, is it not? For any Old Firm manager at any time, never mind, like I say, where there's a delicate balance here for the loser. If Hearts can obviously press home the advantage they have, and St Mirren have already won the League Cup, there's a real high chance here the loser ends up trophyless this season.
Yeah, there really is. I think for me, there is pressure, because ultimately you're the manager of Rangers, and I think Danny Rowe came out today, didn't he, and spoke about how it would be a really poor season if they were to end up trophyless. Still so much to play for, as we know, coming away from league competition, but we just don't really know how that's going to go. It's a huge opportunity, especially off the back of that 45 minutes, as we seen last week. But it has to be for 90 minutes. And I think when you look at both teams, Rangers and Celtic, very rarely this season have we seen a 90-minute performance from either side. That's why it's so hard to really predict how this game's going to play out on Sunday.
If Danny Rule loses on Sunday, the Rangers fans say, you had Celtic 2-0 up in a league match, and the following week you lose to them in a Scottish Cup match. I don't think you're much use to us.
Let's thank Graham and bring in John from the other side of the rivalry. John, talk to us as a Celtic fan.
All right, mate, how you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Good. What do you think?
Just a quick one for you.
Mm-hmm.
See the way that he started the show, mentioned the way the Hearts were going for Celtic and Rangers. And it feels as if it was, what was it he was saying? It feels as if Rangers are more favourites for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel as if he's constantly kind of contradicting the words that he's saying. Because the way that Rangers had the first half, Celtic with the second. So it's just, how can you conclude on how you think that game's going to go on Sunday then?
Here's the whole deal. You've just concluded that I am wrong. So what's your opinion?
If you always contradict your words and how you say it.
No, I don't. I may get a prediction wrong, but I'm not contradicting my own words. I feel, personal opinion, Rangers, if Danny Rule picks the right team, has strength and depth that Celtic do not have, and I feel that Rangers will win the match. End of story. Personal opinion. You can come and get me at 2 o'clock.
But did he pick? He had this strength to choose from last week. I don't think it's necessarily about the prediction. As I say, if you think Rangers will win, that's fine. But the sort of, to use last week as evidence of it, or to talk about the strength and depth, do we not need to analyse why that didn't work for Rangers last weekend? Like literally 5 days ago.
I am talking about this game in isolation and my instinctive feeling that Chermiti will have another big goal in him, that Nadiri looks as if he can. He's not.
Did you think he performed
made out
well
to
last
be.
Week?
No, I didn't think outstanding, but I have more belief in those players doing something than I have in Shvanchara or Yang under the circumstances. I may be totally wrong, but I think we are sitting here for one purpose alone, and that is to give an opinion and give it in a forthright manner.
How confident are you, John, that he is wrong then?
It's hard to say if he's wrong or no. It's the way I see how the way that maybe Martin O'Neill's kind of learnt the lesson with the team that he put out on Sunday last week, and the way that he made the changes in the second half, and that was what made the big difference in Celtic, and obviously try to obviously fight back and get in the draw. But if he was to make the changes and start a strong, decent team out instead of having like Ox or Adam out up front, that might make the difference in the start of the game and make that change and how it would go through in the 90 minutes.
Go on then, John. Give us your forthright opinion. What's the score?
For the score, I'd want to guess 3-1 Celtic.
There you are. You're a good man. You put your opinion across, and we'll get back to you on Sunday.
Thank you to John 01419511025. Keep the calls coming, and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, about to be joined by Lewis, who's on the line. Hi Lewis.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you, more importantly?
Yeah, not bad, thank you.
Good, what are you thinking Sunday?
I feel a bit more confident than I was kind of going into last week's game, to be honest. I feel like, looking at kind of Celtic's point of view, for the second half, there's a lot of confidence coming from that, especially obviously then you're going to Aberdeen as well. You get kind of the 3 points. I think that's something they build from. I think even like tactically wise, I think in the first half we played into Rangers' hands a bit. I've seen a stat where only two Celtic players, excluding the goalkeeper, over 6 foot, where in contrast Rangers had 7, and then we kind of in the first half kind of choose to go direct, and which I thought, I think Martin gets it wrong there, and then even personnel wise we get a bit wrong, and then I think, can he bring the subs on in the second half? Can he change them tactically? Well, it's just much better footballing team. You know, actually started to play a bit more football rather than can he be a bit more direct and physical and try and match Rangers in that department. So I feel like if we try and replicate going into this Sunday, then that's where we're going to take advantage.
Is that where they're in a slightly different position from each other, rather than this black and white first half, second half? Celtic changed something and it worked. The thing Rangers were doing initially didn't work throughout. Does that make sense? Is that why there's more food for thought maybe for Danny Rule? Martin O'Neill will try and sort of, he'll just try and stick with that second half, but it might not be as easy as Rangers trying to do what they did in the first half, because Celtic are different. That I've probably tied us all in knots with. You see what I mean? Celtic changed. Rangers tried to keep it the same and it didn't work in the second half, and then even when they did look to bring Diomande on, it didn't really have the desired effect. So I just wonder if we'll see something not drastically different from Rangers, but a real departure from some of the stuff at the weekend.
Yeah, I think there'll be a departure from the weekend, and I think what Danny Rowe is talking about, the strength of Rangers, our strength is just that physicality they have. I think they'll try and match Celtic up, especially in the midfield with the 3-against-3, because they'll feel they can get the better of Celtic in their sense with the second balls. But what I think Lewis was spot on there, what Celtic did do, dropping Hatate back down round about Callum McGregor and getting on the ball, the one way to play against physicality is by getting on the ball and passing it and making them move, and Celtic done that really well in the second half. So I think you'll see that from Celtic, but I think you'll see Daniel try and match up and still make it individually physical up against the Celtic three in the middle of the park, because they do have that advantage. But what Celtic do, if they're on it, they can play through you. If they're not and you get the press right, then there's chances. You seen the other night with Aberdeen, one of the turning points with them getting back into the game was Celtic building out from the back with Sinisalo and Scales, and they didn't have the next pass, and I think it was Olesanya who just with a bit of intensity pressed them, and then the atmosphere changed in Pittodrie, and then they found their way back into the game. So there's so many factors in how both managers will be looking at this. We're just going week to week wondering what it's going to look like visually.
I'm inclined to say that you just forget everything that took place last Sunday, because these two games are never alike.
That's true.
Particularly when they're only 8 days apart. Celtic at Aberdeen Wednesday night, score early and knocking the ball around nicely for 5 minutes, and then didn't score again for another hour. I know that when the goal came, it was the winner and Celtic deservedly got the 3 points, but you just never know with either of them.
To be fair, we've now got two games. That's back-to-back games where the first half performance means nothing in the outcome of the game, really.
Yeah.
It was the other way around, in a sense, when Rangers went to Celtic Park. Lewis, do you think this is completely separate, or do you buy into the impact that it could have on the title race, depending who wins?
I mean, I think it definitely, mentality-wise, it's definitely going to have an effect on players. I think that's just kind of natural human behaviour, to be honest. I actually think as well, even whoever goes through, you've been got the mentality and the confidence boost from that. But that's more games to play in the league. When you look at kind of Hearts, so I've only got the league to play for now, they're probably thinking like at least one of them wants to go. The one of them could probably get one of them to obviously go through to the final. That's the only game for them to play.
Hugh, I think you said earlier, you believe that on that question, it's about the scale of what happens. So let's create a hypothetical scenario where they go hammer and tong, somebody wins a penalty shootout by 5-4. You don't think that has a bearing on the title? But if one of them wins 3-0, that could.
I mean, if someone loses in a penalty shootout, you have all enough drama to last you a lifetime. But it would not Celtic would then have to focus on Motherwell at Celtic Park, a fascinating fixture. If they lose on penalties or win on penalties, it will make no difference when they come to play Motherwell. However, my feeling about the scale of what happens, if somebody takes a hiding,
you think that's too hard to recover from?
Yeah, I think
Do you think both are capable of giving each other a hiding here?
I'd be reluctant to say that Celtic could give Rangers a hiding at Ibrox, given that over the last six league games, for example, Celtic have won none of them, home or away. But if someone were to take a hiding, now, I always go back to it. When I went to Martin O'Neill's first Old Firm match, I didn't expect Celtic to score six goals. And when I went to Martin O'Neill's second Old Firm match, I didn't expect them to lose five goals at Ibrox. So that's why it's a separate life form. But the only way it would impact on the title race for me would be if somebody took a hiding.
Lewis, what impact do you think the increased allocation has?
I don't know if it has. It'll have an impact for definitely the Celtic players, I think. I think as well, as like obviously if Celtic get the early goal, I think that's massive. And got kind of take the lead. I think that'll have kind of a massive impact. But I just think the boys having the kind of that allocation to kind of home in a way, regardless of the competition, is probably better for the fixture. So I think it's probably like, hopefully that's a good fire run.
I think Martin O'Neill, you know, having been in the situation where that was a normal occurrence to have the Broomloan stand at Ibrox full of Celtic fans, I think he's relishing that tomorrow, and I think it will have, or certainly should have, an effect on the Celtic players, particularly when they're shooting towards that end. So it will add to the intrigue.
Let's hear from both managers on the fans then, starting with Danny Rule and straight into Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, at first the winner goes in the semi-final and you are close to go in the final. I think this is the most important.
I think that's Danny Rule talking about the title. Let's hear from him on the fans first of all.
Of course we have an impact. If we play 50 minutes like we did, then the 7,500 will also quiet. Yeah, I think this is the part in the game, you feel it. We can make the impact on our performance on the pitch, and the atmosphere was incredible. 50 minutes, really incredible, was amazing to feel this. We pushed our players forward, and then it comes to 2-1, and then you feel it in the stadium as well. Yeah, but this is also part of the game. Maybe we can do it together, that we come also through this small minutes where you feel, yeah, the opponent comes a little better into the game. But this 15 minutes was really, really, really outstanding. I really enjoyed this, to be in the touchdown in such a game.
That would be nice, really, really nice. You know, I've been from a distance, not that my voice is anything, but I've been advocating for it to happen for both clubs to open up again. Because it is a fantastic fixture, and it's made even much, much better because of the full allocation. I know I don't want to go back into yesteryear, all that type of stuff, but those fixtures were really something special, and I still think they are. And if the clubs could agree and get back to full allocation for away fans, it would be terrific. So this will be a test anyway. I shouldn't be interfering in what police they, but I think our fans are supposed to. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, isn't it? And they were asking them to be in for 10 o'clock. Will they get breakfast in there, do they? You know? No. It's pretty early, that, you know? Even by normal standards.
To be fair, I don't know the exact arrangements, but I saw a few Celtic fans replying saying it's not as early as that, they need to be in. But anyway, I don't know if there'll be any breakfast rolls. I would imagine. Not, but it's another layer of fascination, isn't it? And you can always spin these things both ways about who starts fast and all that sort of stuff. And you were there last week, Scott. You felt there maybe was a bit of a nervousness amongst the Ibrox crowd. Does that play into Celtic's hands now that they've got more of their fans, or somehow does that take away a nervousness that was there from the Rangers fans? We'll never know until Sunday.
We'll find out soon enough. I did think that you could sense the nerves, especially that second half. I touched on the Chirmiti incident when he tried to back heel it. That did set into the players, the fact that they naturally started to drop, especially Raskin and Chukwuane. It gave Celtic obviously the overload in the middle of the park, but Butland for me was caused Rangers a lot of problems in the second half, with his distribution first and foremost. Looked nervous. How does that look if they aren't performing well with the full Broomland behind them, full of Celtic fans? That'll be an intriguing aspect come Sunday. So I think for either team, having that support but not the nervousness with it, it does transcend onto the park. You do need it. So they, a couple of moments in the second half, really switched how the players felt. I did feel that in the game.
I mean, the Celtic fans will be unrestrained. They will love it. I mean, in that stand and having it to themselves for the first time in 8 years. It now comes down to the constraints that Martin O'Neill has in terms of who he can pick, in terms of how much Hamburg away, Rangers away and Aberdeen away, how much that has taken out of those who are left for Martin O'Neill to pick.
I think that's a consideration. I know people say, you know, this fixture, adrenaline gets you through, all that stuff. And we've seen loads of examples before of a team with a kind of busy schedule going on and winning the next game. So it's not about it being impossible, but that's quite a lot Celtic have had building up over the last few weeks, isn't it? Do you think that could be to their detriment?
It could be. I think in this occasion, you ask any player whether you've got that tiredness, it's more the mental tiredness, isn't it? Having to produce in the pressurised situation, having to perform for a team like Celtic. But on a day like this, when there's a semi-final at stake, they're off the back of a win, it certainly helps. If you're off the back of a poor result against Aberdeen and the results before it, there's no getting away. The mentality is a lot different. But they do have players. Sarachi, if he was to come in for Kieran Tierney, listen, he's a solid performer for Celtic since he's signed. He's been one of the better ones for me, always looks to go forward with the ball. Hatate back in, as you would imagine. And then it then gives you the option to bring Oxlade-Chamberlain or Siobhan Chiron in the latter stages of the game, because for me, Oxlade-Chamberlain, it was one of the games that's where Martin Neil would have looked at. I got the selection wrong.
Come on then, team selection, crowd allocations, what's the word I'm looking for? Momentum, confidence, title race. These are all the considerations for Sunday. So how are you feeling, both sides? Let's hear from you and we'll speak next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are excited about the weekend. Why would you not be? Look at what is at stake. 4 places in the Scottish Cup semi-finals. Big no matter what team you are. Extra spice perhaps when you think about Rangers playing Celtic the second time in a week, the title race, all of that sort of stuff. And then the Premiership tomorrow as well. Can Motherwell, the much praised Motherwell, win that game in hand and really make it tight at the top? Loads to get through between now and 8 o'clock. Let's bring in Kyle, who's a Rangers fan. How are you feeling about it, Kyle?
I'm not confident. However, I think we could get a result.
Does the relevance of last week then? Because I think a lot of people are kind of looking back and wondering how it might play out similarly or different. What relevance does last week have, if any?
I don't feel like it's relevant because the game's different. You can't exactly put the same team out and think, oh, we're going to get a result. However, the referee, I'll never go on, oh, the ref's this, the ref's that. It's the players weren't good enough and they never got the result that they needed.
That's certainly true. The referee had nothing at all to do with it. He did what he had to do, went to the screen and decided that Celtic had to get a penalty, and he was quite correct, and VAR was correct. More and more, as we approach the game, more and more, I think, all my life, I've never known two of them to be alike, two of these matches. And my guess is that this Sunday will bear no resemblance to last Sunday, but the same pressure will apply to both teams. I know that Martin O'Neill has done an outstanding job holding the fort, steadying the ship, use whatever cliche you want, and has taken a remarkable number of points. But even Martin will feel the old pressure on his shoulders. And the man half his age in the other dugout if he doesn't think that he's under pressure, then he's kidding himself on.
I think it's a different type of pressure for both, Scott. Like, the expectation to win these games is massive. The criticism that comes if you don't is huge. But we're in sort of uncharted territory a bit, where Martin Neal's not going to be at Celtic next season. So the kind of long-term damage or whatever, or the impression the Celtic fans have of him, it's not the same as Danny Rule. Danny Rule is sort of, if he can't win something this season, he's trying to at least finish the season in such a manner to show, well, we're in a position where we can go again next year. Do you see what I mean? The sort of,
well, Martin Neal naturally has already proved himself as a Celtic manager. He's come in before Nancy, done a good job, came in after it and done a fairly decent job again, some really good results in Europe. So everything about Celtic just now is short term. Rangers is a completely different, mindset at this moment, and that's Danny Rowe trying to build something over the next few years. So it's a real chance for him to try and get some silverware and buy that love in from the Rangers fans.
I was going to ask Kyle, who do you think wins the league, Kyle, at the moment?
I would say Hearts. So they've done well the whole season. I would like to say that Rangers or Celtic might win it. However, I think Hearts are definitely winners.
So is that, well, the reason I ask, is that extra importance then? Because if what you're saying is correct, then the loser on Sunday finishes the season trophyless.
I hope Rangers could win at least tomorrow, or they could at least go on to win the league. However,
The funny thing is, we're talking about pressure. Now, last week was pressure on both sides, and that they each responded in their own way.
Their own unique way.
Yeah. And Sunday will be about pressure, because it's a cup tie. Just, and Martin O'Neill's pressure, I think, will be related to the occupants of the Broomloan stand. He won't want to let down 7,500 Celtic supporters. And Danny Rule is feeling his way in the city of Glasgow, and he must understand by this time that he mustn't let down Rangers supporters. But there's still one more of these things to come. Mm-hmm. There's another one to come that will have,
could be
possibly, yeah, will have all the bearing in the world on the outcome of the title race.
I suppose, so Kyle's a Rangers fan, to look at it from the Rangers perspective, Scott, if you are Rangers, if you are Danny Rule, and you've gone 2-0 up and surrendered that, then in midweek there's nothing you can do about it. It was a game in hand, but you had to sit and watch Celtic go above you. If you then lose that, the next one, and go out the cup, you're not going to be feeling brilliant about your title push, are you? That's just human nature. Not to say you can't win it from that position, of course you can, but you're not going to be bouncing into the training centre on Monday saying, right, we've got this, you know, our title prospects are looking good.
There's two ways to look at it. I understand. I think you have, if Rangers were to lose the game, the natural disappointment as a player, first and foremost, with the chance to obviously go on and maybe win the Scottish Cup. But at the same time, it has to be that mindset coming into training on the Monday. Because
that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it can't be done, but like, that cannot be an ideal set of circumstances for you.
It's ideal losing
because
games of football.
Because you're behind, and forget Celtic, you're significantly behind Hearts. So you're going to need a real body of evidence here that you can make that gap up.
We don't have the body of evidence because a lot of these players are in their first season at Rangers. What I would say, if I'm Danny Rowe though, and you look at the second half last week, and Celtic then started playing out and yous dropped off, if Celtic play Maeda up front, then this is when you find out about Danny Rowe tactically. If he gets the press right, and I know everyone's saying modern, if you get your press right against Celtic, you can force them into an area of the park where they have to go long, and you would expect Rangers, if Celtic were forced into going beyond these seconds, just with the athleticism, the physicality they have in their team, you could shorten the distance for Maeda controlling the ball coming up to him, which you would think we can jump on that and take the ball. So you actually find out tactically what Danny Rowe was right on Sunday, because yes, second half Celtic performed well, but if you get the press right and you force them long, I don't see Celtic managing to get up as a unit as we have seen at times, especially if he's worked on it throughout the week. So for me, it's a big, I'm really looking at that side of things with Danny Rowe on Sunday.
I'm laughing inside, and I don't laugh very often.
No, you don't.
But next, I'm projecting forward to next Friday, and we will then know who won. And we'll be talking about Celtic Motherwell. What a game! And we'll be talking about, Rangers are away, but Dundee away? next week. There must be a way because Celtic are at home.
Say that again, sorry. Rangers. St Mirren away.
St Mirren away. A team fighting relegation. And then Kilmarnock play Hearts Saturday night. So next week, we will have a whole new scenario to go through. Rangers away at a team fighting relegation. Celtic playing the team that Chris Sutton says are the best in Britain.
St Mirren could be in another semi-final at Hampden by the time that game comes around.
I mean, as I say, for the next nine games, we are dealing with a different set of circumstances every weekend.
Thank you very much to Kyle in Livingston. I want to end the first hour on a high. I naively, wrongly, hold my hands up, thought that last night this was going to be the worst things we had ever done on this show. We were giving tickets away to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, and rather than providing the punchline to a joke like we did all the previous nights this week, we actually asked the callers to phone in with an impression of Hugh Keevans, and the best one would win. And Hugh himself even joined us on the phone to judge it. Let's hear the winning entry from Paul. It was, let's just let it speak for itself.
At the end of the day, Gordon, as we head into the final minutes of the game, a draw is a defeat, a disaster. Thank you very much, Gordon. And currently calling in from my prehistoric mobile phone. Martin may as well pack his bags. The game is a bogey. The game is over. The title is heading to Edinburgh. Oh, there's a last-minute penalty. Martin, you jammy.
Do you know what? After it was all over, I thought to myself, what's my response to this? And I came up with it. Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen, the lyric... It happened like this. I had no choice. I was born with the gift of a golden voice.
But no one ever thinks an impression of them is good. But would you even concede that's pretty close?
When my youngest daughter was still at school, she said to her mother, he can't come up to get me at school anymore because everybody does an impression of him when they get. And nothing but every kid in Clydebank held their nose and
how good was that guy?
Did we get his what age was he?
I don't know. What's, does that matter?
It does. I think it does.
He sounded just perfectly.
Not easy to do, Hugh.
Middle aged, no offence to Paul if he's listening and he's not that, but.
Not an easy.
You impressed with that?
That's a very high standard. It's not an easy voice to replicate, is it?
It is not, honestly. I've watched that video quite a few times since we put it up. You can see it for yourself on our social media channels. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, let's end the week on a high with a victory for the listeners on Beat the Pundit. 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. What a weekend we've got in store. How are you feeling about it all? Of course, given where we are in the world and what this show tends to be about, we've been talking a lot about Rangers against Celtic. How much of a bearing, if any, does it have in the title race? Who's favourites to go through? What relevance last week has? What changes would the managers make? All of the above and more. And still plenty more time for it. So if you want involved, 0141 951 1025. We've not got into some of the specifics. Casper Schmeichel's meant to be in and around it. He was back training today. Is that a non-starter now? Is it Sinis Salah all day? Is this now, if he has been ill, as Martin O'Neill says, is this the time when the big decision needs to be made? Get your thoughts in there. Austin Trusty is free of suspension. Does he play or is it Benjamin Arthur? As for Rangers, after that second half, what would you do? Would Diomande come into the midfield? Would James Tavernier maybe start the game? Loads of possibilities. So let's get stuck in there. We've got a big game tonight. This is when the Scottish Cup quarter-final weekend begins, with Falkirk against Dundee United. We'll look at that. And Motherwell fans, how are you feeling? Because for weeks now, how many times have you heard the phrase, if Motherwell win their game in hand? Well, tomorrow we find out if they win their game in hand and what that league table would look like. So all your calls in, please, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, beat the pundit time. It's always important, I think, to finish on a high if you can. Well, for the week, let me check in on the scores. I don't think I recall two. Oh, it's 4-0. Ah, the pundits are going for their first clean sweep week of 2026.
We will sort that out.
That is the responsibility that you have on your shoulders. There have been four Scottish Premiership managerial changes since the pundits last won a clean sweep. There you go. There's a stat for you. Darren's in Drumchapel. How's it going, Darren?
How's it going, lads?
Have you ever played this before, Darren?
I have, yeah.
Right, and?
2 years ago. Lost.
To who?
Mark Weedy was one of them, I think.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was him.
Right, fair enough.
It was an absolute gubbin.
Sounds like more than 2 years ago.
I thought I was going to say
listen,
that.
I won't hold that against you for not being able to remember. That's fine. I would try and forget about it as well if I'd come on here and lost.
Yeah,
but you're back
much.
For revenge. I like that. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Hugh Keevans. And if it's the red side, it will be Scott Allen. Let's see how we go tonight. And it's blue for Hugh. Do you close your eyes here?
Yeah.
You're a wee bit nervous.
I was hoping not to play.
You're getting superstitious in the old age. You're like one of these managers that can't look when his team's got a penalty.
I, you know, I'm playing someone from my old stomping
Local.
Ground. Yeah, I mean, Lochcoyne Avenue boy. So, yeah.
I was up your current neck of the woods today and I was pulled over at a shop having some lunch, window down, enjoying the sun. And a guy leaned in the window and said, "Oh, I thought you would be up here picking the old boy up." I'm assuming he meant you. So anyway, let's play. We'll give Hugh something else to listen to. Darren, the rules are the same. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Yep.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock, Darren, and your time starts now. How many times has Martin O'Neill won the Scottish Cup?
Three.
Which current English Premier League side did Peter Lovenkranz play for?
Newcastle.
Which top flight team knocked Hearts out the Scottish Cup this season?
Falkirk.
What type of animal is the Scottish national team's mascot?
Lion.
Which SPFL side are nicknamed the Gable Endies?
Pass.
In what country did Martin Boyle play in between his two Hibs spells?
Australia.
Who was the last Scotland player to score at a men's World Cup?
McCoist.
Okay, Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
Okay.
You good?
Yep, I've played every night this week in the Super Scoreboard kitchen.
He's nervous, isn't he?
And I've been hopeless.
That's why you're nervous.
Yeah.
We've got a wee day out tomorrow, don't we? Super Scoreboard day out. So I think your mind has wandered ahead to that.
You better believe it.
Thinking about the menu.
I think he's distracted.
Never. The menu's the last thing I'm thinking.
What number will be greater, your score on Beat the Pundit or the glasses of red that you have tomorrow on said day out?
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Please drink responsibly. Your 30 seconds, Hugh Keevan, starts now. How many times has Martin O'Neill won the Scottish Cup?
Three.
Which current English Premier League side did Peter Lovenkranz play for?
A pass.
Which top flight team knocked Hearts out the Scottish Cup this season?
Falkirk.
What type of animal is the Scottish national team's mascot?
Lion.
Which SPFL side are nicknamed the Gable Endies?
Oh, Arbroath.
In what country did Martin Boyle play in between his two Hibs spells?
Australia.
Who was the last Scotland player to score at a men's World Cup?
Craig Burley.
Okay. Darren, what are you thinking?
It's the nickname one. I can't even think of it. So I think he might have picked me there.
Let's go through them and find out. You both said three for Martin O'Neill. You were both correct. 2001, 2003, 4 and 04, 5. So you both got three. Well done. The English Premier League club Peter Lovenkranz played for?
Newcastle.
And Darren got it. He goes one in front. You both remembered quite rightly that Falkirk, who host Dundee United tonight, knocked Hearts out. Remember, it was on penalties. It was an excellent game that night, actually, back in January. So it's still one up to Darren in Drumchapel. The Scotland national team's mascot is Rory the Lion. So you both got that right. Darren remains one in front. The SPFL side nicknamed the Gable Endies.
Montrose.
Still, Darren, one in front. You both fell for the team that he represents, Martin Boyle, but he played in Saudi in between his two Hibs spells. What did you make of that news today, Mr. Hibs, that he will not be staying beyond the end of this season? End of an era?
End of an era, yeah. He's been a fantastic servant to Hibs. I still think he's had some really good performances this year. But I think probably for probably the right time for a player and the club to move
well,
on.
Well, said the story when it came out in the paper earlier, it said can neutral, didn't it? Mutual is the word I'm looking for.
I think he's probably looking at the sun in Australia, boil
it. I think it is time that both parties, you know, it's not a kind of no bad blood and just move on.
Yeah, I think, listen, as I say, Hibs will be wanting to maybe go a different route next year. Martin Boyle, because he is a threat, he's got pace and he scores goals, he's always a figure of that Hibs team, but I just think now is probably the right time, and I think Martin himself will be wanting a different challenge, so I would predict that he ends up in Australia.
You get it, Hugh, and clubs, just one last on this before we get back to it, clubs want to, you need to move forward, and yeah. You've got to keep going, but at the same time, it's not always easy to replace what you've got.
No,
when they've been as productive as Martin Boyle has.
Well, as I say, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. But I have to feel that he's had a conversation with Malky Mackay as well as David Gray, and it's been pointed out to him that Hibs have got other plans.
See, I did this conversation just to build up the tension because we're still one up to Darren Indram Chapel, who was the last Scotland player to score at a men's World Cup. Hugh Keevan said Craig Burley. Darren said Ali McCoist. It is Craig Burley. France
Morocco?
98. Norway.
Norway.
Didn't score against Morocco.
No, lost 3-0.
So Darren, he's done you right at the last minute to take it to a tiebreaker. It's a tiebreaker to try and win the week as a clean sweep. Let me see. Right. Good question, this. Just throw a guess at me. I'll ask you to write his answer down, then invite you, Darren, to give me your attempt. Yep. How many league goals have the top scorer from Celtic, Rangers, Hearts and Motherwell scored combined this season? So Celtic's top scorer, Rangers top scorer, Hearts top scorer, Motherwell's top scorer, what they got combined? Write it down. Darren, what are you giving me?
I'm going to go for 51.
Okay, 51. Hugh Keevan says 30. I can tell you one of you is only one out. Tawanda Maswanisi's got 16, Hugh.
Uh-huh.
Benjamin Negrin's got 15.
Ah, well, that's that then. Well done, Darren.
Nah, nice one.
Claudio Braga's got 12 and Yusuf Chermiti's got 9. It's 52, Darren. Well done. What was your thinking? Just a complete stab in the dark.
Chat JPT.
Yeah, I kind of. I knew the Motherwell boys on 16, so I thought.
Good thinking. Good thinking.
That was my thoughts, but I'll take that.
Give my regards to Drumchapel.
Which one of Sunday's teams involved do you favour, Darren?
It's Rangers, but it's going to be a tough one. I think momentum swung a wee bit after last week's result, but we'll see.
What does that do to the game then? Is that like, I don't know, added pressure or?
Definitely. I think, to kind of bottle it the way we did last week, and then obviously some of the comments from Roe, I think it's adding the pressure to it, but anything can happen in a cup game, but we'll need to wait and see.
That word bottle it, do you think it was a mentality thing then at the weekend?
About that in tactics. I think we've seen it against Motherwell as well. I would definitely put it down to that, but hopefully they prove us wrong on Sunday and back up with a win.
I think this is the problem, Scott, when you've got history either on your side or against you. You mentioned this the other night. Celtic can play as terribly as they want, they can lose as many games as they like, they can stink the place out, but it'll never be about bottle. They'll never get accused of that, do you know?
Yeah,
but Rangers will. And we'll never know. You never know exactly what the reason is. It's just a theory to everybody. But history has prevented Celtic from being tagged as bottlers. That's only available to Rangers, it feels like, at the moment.
Yeah, I think obviously Celtic going the distance in games right into injury time and being able to come up with winners when they haven't played well, I think that obviously builds a certain sort of steeliness about your team, knowing that it isn't over until the whistle goes. Rangers, on the other hand, wasn't such a solid performance in that first half to then.
You see what I mean, Hugh? Like the
naturally drop off.
To use your word, I'm talking more narrative. Not everybody, but if Celtic perform badly and lose, people say squad's no good enough, recruitment's no good enough, club's a shambles, etc., etc. That's the go-to. If Rangers don't do well at the moment, the go-to seems to be bottle mentality. Danny Rule doesn't like that suggestion.
Yeah. I think
understandable.
I think it's based on 12 draws in the league. Not all of them down to
Russell
Danny
Martin's
Rule. Russell Martin got a couple in there as well. But I think back to the Motherwell game. Motherwell 10 men, Rangers 11. Rangers a goal up, draw. Rangers go to Livingston, go 2 down, draw. Rangers play Celtic, go 2 up, draw.
A lot of that's down to manager mentality though as well. You do, for me, you do get two types of managers, go out to win the game and ones who go out not to get beat. I think when Rangers go 2-0 up, Danny Rowe naturally wants to go and protect. I think it was similar against Motherwell, as much as their actual football did dictate and kind of pin Rangers back. But I think you've got to look at that part of it as well. Martin O'Neill and Celtic, that'll be to the last minute. Danny Rowe did look to protect.
Can you imagine if it's a draw after extra time and we go to penalties? Jack Butland, the man who doesn't let penalties in, versus, I suspect, Sinisalo will be in goal for Celtic.
Yeah, what do you make of that, Celtic fans? Darren, on the subject of team, does the first half last week tempt you to just pick the exact same team, or does the second half tempt you to rip it up and do something totally different?
I think he's got to go with the three again back in the middle, because I think obviously I think last week was a bit of a free hit because they were going to play Negrin and Oxlade, which was obviously a bit more less legs for them in the middle. But with them bringing in Hatate and the way he obviously done us in the first 15 last second half, I think it'd be safe to go with the three. I mean, we've still got the quality to obviously hurt them with the three, but it's just obviously if we do get that goal or two lead, we need to finish them off instead of trying to sit in and welcome them.
It's funny, Scott, because although it didn't actually work bringing Diomande on last week, it had no impact. Is he still guaranteed to start this one?
Yeah, I think Diomande plays.
It's funny that, isn't it? So it's about getting the rest of it right rather than...
Yeah, because you have to have a structure to get the best out of that. It basically didn't change the shape, just put Diomande in the same sort of position that they had been doing the first half. He actually had to tweak how they were going to work against stopping Celtic playing out, and they didn't do that. So that's...
Is that how quickly things can change then? Because the feeling building up to last week was that Rangers had to go this two up top. Ryan Nadiri had to play alongside Yusuf Tchermite, and then it looked like a masterstroke at the start, but a week on, you don't expect Ryan Nadiri to start the game?
No, I don't. I think it's a good question, is it, why that happens? I just think the fact that Rangers naturally started to drop off and that added nervousness that creeped into the second half, I think he just goes and thinks, how can we stop what Celtic's good at, and at the same time put on top of Celtic what we think we're good at, and that's that athleticism as I talk about. I think a Gassama could maybe start, somebody like that with a bit of pace.
Right.
I do.
Again, that's funny, isn't it? It shows you how the bigger picture's important, because if that's two players that came on last week and made no difference, but you've got them starting the game.
Yeah, as I says, it just depends on the structure. I think if you're playing against Celtic, as I says, you'll find out a lot about Danny Rowe and his setup. And when Celtic go to play out from Sinisalo, if he's worked on it and done it right, then they will force Celtic
in
to go long.
Come back in.
No.
Okay. Going to be interesting, Hugh, because what about Celtic's team?
First of all, for me, Sinisalo plays in goal, and I base this on one thing. The pivotal moment at Pittodrie midweek was Kevin Nisbet's header. It was a goal all the way. And then Sinisalo made a save, the like of which I don't think Kasper Schmeichel could now make. And Celtic got the 3 points. I think Sinisalo is growing into the position. I think it's his jersey to lose. Kasper Schmeichel replaced someone one day when he was a young man. And Sinisalo, I think, deserves the chance to play at Ibrox on Sunday.
Thank you very much to Darren in Drumchapel. I don't know if dodged is the right word, but he said, you know, Kasper Schmeichel is back training. But remember, he said previously he was out because he was ill.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he spoke today, he mentioned about having a shoulder injection, which I know he's had previously. He said they'd be kind of waiting to see, but Sinisalo's played really well. Look, we've addressed it a couple of times.
I don't know.
You're the most cynical person on this earth, probably.
Come on, Hugh.
So I'm going to guess you don't think Kasper Schmeichel was ill enough to miss two games.
No, I don't.
I thought he might.
I said last week, Scotty, I think Kasper Schmeichel was ill when Martin O'Neill read out the team, and he wasn't in it.
But if that's the case, then I wonder how this week, because he wasn't on the bench for the last two.
No.
So is he on the bench this weekend?
I don't know about that. If we're talking about someone,
see if
having,
he's back in training, like
pictured
at training today.
Proper training. Full session.
Well, you
only see 15 minutes, don't you?
Surely he's back in the bench.
Well, is he the type of personality, and I don't know, Kasper Schmeichel. He's the type of personality to happily sit on the bench, big, big occasion like that. But I repeat, the goalkeeper, Sunisalo, made a save at Pittodrie that Kasper Schmeichel at this time could not make. And therefore, he is the confident holder of the jersey. And if the goalkeeper, Schmeichel, is at the moment suspect in matches, loses bad goals in matches, did it against Rangers earlier in the season, and is having injections, then what's your problem? Sinisalo, please. Yeah.
Benjamin Arthur or Austin Trusty. Martin O'Neill didn't say for sure, but I assume Dane Murray's injured. If you go off during the warm-up, you're not playing a couple of days later, I think.
For me,
Benjamin Arthur got man of the match. He's right-sided. Austin Trusty is the more established man. Who plays?
I would go with Benjamin Arthur.
Interesting. You?
I'm reluctant because Benjamin Arthur did very well. And it was a real test of him because, you know, 1 minute he's on the bench, next minute he's starting the game.
Yep.
So a real test of him, and he passed it with flying colours. But he hasn't played 5 league games in his professional career. And I would worry about him being swallowed up by the atmosphere at Ibrox, because I guarantee you he has never known anything like that in his life before.
At the same time, it'll be certainly more than 5, but what will Dane Murray started at Ibrox last week with a much smaller Celtic allocation, he'll probably have 15 Celtic appearances, maybe. I don't know. Is it comparable? I know he did his loan at Queen's Park.
I understand that, but you have to be into the environment to see how you do. I know it's a huge game, but Trusty for me hasn't performed consistently all season. I think when he gets asked to defend one-on-one in any defensive situation,
he's back to the wall. Stuff's been good in Europe though,
yes,
hasn't it?
Yeah, but that's because he's got protection round about him. Celtic are set in a defensive shape.
No Kieran Tierney. Well, no, that's a lie. He's a doubt, but I think it sounds like a strong doubt.
Yeah.
So,
and when he came off Gordon at Pittodrie, I thought to myself, out. He didn't look happy. When the game was over, the cameras panned on him coming off the bench to go into the dressing room, and he didn't look like a guy he was going to play at Ibrox on Sunday, and he knew it.
Okay, let's leave it there. 0141 951 1025, whatever it is that tickles your fancy. Maybe tonight's game, we should look at that soon, because we're getting close. Falkirk, Dundee United tomorrow, Dens Park, a huge and expectant Motherwell travelling support. And for everybody else, be refreshing that score all afternoon to see just what it does to the league table, so we can take more of your calls when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here talking cup so far. Talk league if you want. We've got another big cup game tonight though to revisit, so it's all happening. Let me give you this teaser first.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Oh, I like this from Roddy in Killearn. He's doing double time. Roddy got back in touch saying, since we did Celtic yesterday, here's the same question for Rangers. Can you name the eight Rangers players with the most appearances who've also represented a non-European country? So can you name the eight Rangers players with the most appearances for the club who've represented a non-European country? Thanks to our sponsor Arcaplan Glasgow for helping Roddy and Killearn as well bring this to us.
Kinesia.
No. So you need 114 appearances for Rangers to get on this list. So he won't be. He won't
Marvin
be
Andrews.
Nope. Kinesia's only 86, if that gives you a kind of
Morelos
ballpark. Yes, he is top of this list. 269 Rangers appearances, 11 caps for Colombia, which is famously not in Europe.
Bassi.
No.
Claudio Reyna.
No.
Balogun.
Yes, just in 114 appearances. So we'll leave it there and get the rest before the end. Remember, if like Roddy and Killearn, you want to hear your question used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Oh, Scott is a Motherwell fan. Scott, I said it earlier, how many times have we heard the question, if Motherwell win their game in hand, what are you thinking tomorrow?
Gordon, it's got to be game on. It's got to be game on.
Do you think they will win it?
Aye, definitely. The expectations there, I think over the last kind of few weeks, maybe in the last couple of months, Gordon, the chat for the Hearts fans, the Rangers fans, Celtic fans, you know, Motherwell's going to play a big part in where the title goes. And do you know what? To be frank, I'm sick of hearing that. I said to one of my mates, who's a Hearts fan at work, I said, you know what? Yous are actually going to help us win the league because you're going to take points for Rangers and Celtic. And the way Motherwell are playing, I mean, watching the game on at the weekend there on Saturday against Dundee United obviously had, you know, been well coached by Jim Goodwin, and they pressed us high, preventing us, you know, getting the ball at the back with McGinn and O'Donnell to build up play. So then they combated that by drawing in the Dundee United forward line and then pinged it in the channels to Masminisi and Elijah Just, who were crossing over into space, and Dundee United just couldn't cope with that. So not only do we have our own kind of patterns of play, but we also know how to change it when teams are trying to suffocate us. So I think tomorrow's, you know, the psychological fear that Motherwell players have always had going to Celtic Park, going to Ibrox, going to Tynecastle, that's gone. These guys know that they're good and they're playing well, and I think now the Celtic team next Saturday, forget about tomorrow, that's hopefully in the bag.
Oh, don't like that, Scott. Don't like it. Come on, you're sounding like fans of these big teams that do all that stuff.
I know.
Come on,
it's not an easy game that tomorrow.
No, I mean 3-3 Dundee Hibs last week, and Stephen Presley has got a tune out of these players. It'd be a horrendous anti-climax for Scott and all the Motherwell fans if they did lose at Dens Park. But yeah, after all, they are a bottom six club, and Motherwell have received nothing but plaudits the whole season long. But it comes into the you never know category for me.
I think if there is, and I just say the word, if there's any chance, because Scott thinks it, some people do, some people don't. You know, could Motherwell do it? Could they go all the way? Even if you think the answer to that's yes, surely the answer does become no if they don't win tomorrow, Scott. So if it's a defeat for Motherwell tomorrow, 10 behind Hearts, yeah, having played the same number of games with whatever that is, 8 or 9 to go. That's too big when you've got two teams in between you as well.
Yeah, I would say it's too big, and you are obviously relying on results going in your favour elsewhere. I do feel that's a tricky game tomorrow. I said to you when I came in, didn't I, Gordon, that I felt out of all the games recently that Motherwell are playing, I felt that was the one I was looking at going, oh, that could be difficult. Dundee do have players who can hurt you, obviously Congreve, Egan, middle of the park, Ethan Hamilton's been outstanding. But what Motherwell will have going there is a real belief that Jens Berthelsen has installed in this Motherwell team. They have solutions to teams wanting to press you, as Scott touched on, they can go in behind because they've got the speed of Masminisi. So it's a game that you would expect Motherwell to win, but also a game where you could expect them to drop points for me. So it's a very tricky game. If they come through that and they go to Celtic Park next weekend, anything can happen. If they can come through that without losing the game, you'll get that split. Then, Motherwell are capable of beating any of the teams.
And then conversely, Scott, if they don't win it and they go to Celtic Park and don't win, goodbye.
Scott, the manager's been quite, quite consistent, so consistent in just kind of chalking these games off. And you look at the form for a long time now, the defensive stats that have been getting repeated a lot this week, it's quite incredible. The fewest goals conceded in the league, the most clean sheets in the league, it stacks up against pretty much every team in Europe, Motherwell's defensive record. How key is that?
Having players like Steve O'Donnell, who's been at Motherwell for the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 seasons, and Paul McGinn, I think they've gave players like Stephen Welsh a real understanding of what the club means to the people and the community. And I think Stephen Welsh has just been outstanding, even when he's just brought back into Motherwell after his wee stint back at Celtic there just during the January window. I think the strong defence, and even Callum Ward, he's up there for player of the season just with the amount of... it's the simple things, Gordon, that Callum is doing, and they're building to the back so well. So, Motherwell were never once for being in this position. So we've got to have belief
you know, the belief has to be there that we can actually go and do this and be that. Jens Bertolaskou has got to be our Claudio Ranieri. You know, Leicester were up against it all the years ago and they did it. So who's to say Celtic's know the best of seasons? Rangers are up and down. You never know. Hearts of will they get through sitting there at the top? I just think that hopefully the stars will align for us and things really, you know, I would love for if, you know, just for Motherwell to be in with a shout in the last day of the season. Can you imagine how that would be?
I thought Derek McInnes was Ranieri. Was that not what was said earlier on?
Yeah, I can see. I suppose Motherwell would be more outsiders than Hearts would have been. Hearts.
Where are you on a Saturday if Motherwell were in it to win the league in the Super Scoreboards? Is Andrew coming in that day?
hiding under the couch somewhere. I don't know if I could handle the stress of that.
Coffees and Imodium.
My
in
goodness.
Here for that.
See, on the point, in the Leicester comparison, they turned themselves into just a results machine and it just kept happening. And what is it? Just that wee layer of fascination is about the way Motherwell are doing it, Scott, though. It's like it's all down to control. Like we said there about the goals conceded is ridiculous, but they don't give up chances either. That's
every facet of their game is, from what he has installed in that club, is genuinely outstanding, and it deserves, whether they win the league or not, it deserves enormous credit. That's why they've said the whole country talking about it. Obviously, me as an ex-player watching that from afar, it looks the absolute dream to play in that.
You've turned into a Motherwell fan this season. I've seen it.
I just think for people who love watching exciting football and the control and all the things that go with it, to see that happen with a manager who's come in from Denmark at a club like Motherwell, which is genuinely deserves huge praise, because I don't think we'll see that again.
I offer you this thought. When Claudio Ranieri won the league title for Leicester, he got Andrea Bocelli to sing at the ground. If Motherwell won the league, you're getting Gordon DL singing Tiny Bubbles. I'll leave that with you.
You just ruined it. Thank you very much to Scott in Armadale, a Motherwell fan. Let's hear from the man who's hoping to mastermind it all, Jens Bertolaskou.
I think a very cool thing for us as players and as a group and as a football club is that we know that we are going to compete in top six here after the split, and we know that it's one game at a time. Now we're playing Dundee here, a very important game for us, to an opportunity to get 3 more points, and then after that it looks as if, I haven't done the math yet, but it looks as if it could be teams only in top six from then on. So a lot of big teams against top opponents, and the main thing for us in that aspect is that it's gonna push us to our limits as a football club and as a team, and keep developing us to the maximum of our potential this season, and that's what we want. And then time will tell whether you will say 1 week that we are in the title race and the next week we are out and then we're in again. We are not too fussed about that. We are very concerned about making sure that every day out here, the very best day we can get. And I think they've been brilliant at that, the players and the staff, to focus on really just getting the maximum out of every day, which gives us the best opportunity to maximise our game day.
The one blot on the copybook this season would be, or the most recent one, was the departure out the cup, the exit out of the Scottish Cup at Aberdeen. One of the other success stories this season has been Falkirk. They play tonight against Dundee United. How do you see that one?
Huge game for both clubs. I think for Dundee United, their season is hinging on this. I don't think they're not going to make top six. And what John McGlynn's done at Falkirk, they just keep ticking off games as well. So they'll look at it as a huge opportunity for them to get Hampden. But for me, Dundee United, to kind of get something from their season, they have to win tonight. Noel Fatta, who's their kind of stardust, isn't he? I think he's out through suspension tonight. So Johnny Russell back as well, good friend of mine who has came from overseas back to Dundee United. Could he produce something in the latter stages? But I'm looking at that Falkirk. They've been so consistent. They'll feel that they're strong favourites going into this tonight. But Dundee United won there not too long ago. So I know Falkirk went down to 10 men that night. But this is a game. It starts the Scottish Cup weekend off brilliantly. It's a fantastic tie. Really looking forward to that one.
All in their own way, Hugh, be sort of believing. If we're talking about Motherwell being a tough nut to crack, they're out. League leaders Hearts are out. Celtic or Rangers or Celtic will go out.
Yep.
If you're Falkirk and what you've done in the league this season, and you're the one that knocked Hearts out, surely you fancy this?
Well, you know, Scott's gone for Dundee United. I will go for Falkirk. I think in that ground.
Did you go for Dundee United?
Yeah. No, I just said it was a huge game for Dundee
United. Come on, then, go off the fence. Who do you think will win?
I think Falkirk will win.
There you are. Two of us think Falkirk will win.
But yeah, I don't think they need it. I think they've had a great season anyway. But if John McGlynn could go and add to what he's already doing in the league with a semi-final, and who knows?
The quarters add to the fascination of the season, because Falkirk could be in the last four. Dunfermline could be in the last four. A sold out East End Park tomorrow night. I don't see any reason why Neil Lennon couldn't put Aberdeen out. And then
Falkirk Dunfermline semi-final at Hampden would be interesting.
And then you've got Mark and Alec taking Partick Thistle to St Mirren. Let's face it, St Mirren are having a shocker. Since winning a cup, they've gone into a spiral, a downward spiral. So all the games, the game tonight, the games on Saturday in the league and the cup, the two on Sunday in the cup, all five of them, fascinating.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Right, what about your question tonight? The eight Rangers players with the most appearances for the club have also represented a non-European country. Alfredo Morelos and Leon Balogun so far. Don't like your silence.
Mikhailichenko?
No.
Tony Vidmar?
Yes, Tony Vidmar.
Craig Moore?
Yes.
Scott Arfield?
Yes, Canadian international. Three to get. Do you want one more crack at it, or will we move on? Okay, let's move on and do this.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Okay, all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we have been celebrating Clyde One's official partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It all kicks off Wednesday, 11th of March, across Glasgow City Centre, and we're giving away tickets and meals as well to some of the festival's best shows. So tonight it's a pair of tickets for Jack Docherty and the Chief at the King's Theatre, Glasgow, Sunday the 22nd of March. You'll know him as Chief Commissioner Cameron Mickelson from Scott Squad, of course. Plus, we're going to throw in a small plates meal and two drinks at Cuvée in the West End. We had a lot of success last night. It was brilliant with the Hugh Keevans impression. Really, really good. What we've got tonight, back to the jokes. We couldn't do another Hugh Keevans impression. We end on a high last night. So your joke tonight, you have to provide the punchline. What football club do sheep support? What football club do sheep support? Call us right now, 01419511025, over 18s only, and you have before the end of this break to get in touch.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to get underway in the first of the Scottish Cup quarter-finals, Falkirk against Dundee United. Scoreline prediction from you both, if you don't mind.
2-1 Falkirk.
Extra time.
Oh, and Falkirk to
Falkirk
win.
Falkirk, Nick.
Okay, I'll do the answers to the teaser. There's still time for more calls, but let's do this first.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Yes, all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've been celebrating our official partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, and I can tell you the lines are now closed for tonight's competition. So thank you so much to everyone who tried to get in touch. If you're still calling in the politest way possible, hang up. Enjoy the rest of your evening, because it has been very busy on there, and we have our caller at random who's going to try and win a pair of tickets to Jack Docherty and the Chief at the King's Theatre in Glasgow on the 22nd of March, plus dinner and two drinks at Cuvée in the West End. All you had to do was answer the joke, he says, in inverted commas. And the joke was, what team do sheep support? Dean is on the line from Milton. Dean, tell us, what team do sheep support?
Barcelona.
He gave it a bit. He gave the delivery, and he deserves extra praise for that.
Can we do it again?
Go on, one more time, Dean.
Barcelona.
Barcelona, says Dean. Well done to you, Dean. You're off to see Jack Docherty in a few weeks, and you've got the food chucked in there as well. Happy with that?
Bye, mate. Cheers.
Good man. There we go. Thanks very much to Dean for taking part. Well done to him, and thanks to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival for all the prizes this week. Don't forget to check out GlasgowComedyFestival.com. We've actually got more surprises up our sleeve for this next week as well. And make sure you tune in to Bowie at Breakfast as well. So loads to look forward to there. Well done to Dean. Barcelona. Indeed.
Talented audience we've got.
The impression last night of you was outstanding. Can we just hear it one more time, just because it was that good?
At the end of the day, Gordon, as we head into the final minutes of the game, a draw is a defeat, a disaster. A defeat is a disaster. Thank you very much, Gordon. And currently calling in from my prehistoric mobile phone. Martin may as well pack his bags. The game is a bogey. The game is over. The title is heading to Edinburgh. Oh, there's a last-minute penalty. Martin, you jammy.
Very unhelpful, though, that we played the clip from last night, which includes Gordon Deal banging the desk in delight at how good the impression was. So that wasn't ideal, but that's what that noise was, in case you were wondering. So just kicking off at the Falkirk Stadium, a bit delayed actually, a few minutes behind. Scott Bain in goal for the Bairns, Philip Lisa, Cole Donaldson, Liam Henderson, Leon McCann at the back, Brad Spencer and Dylan Tate holding the fort, with Ben Broggio, Finn Yates and Calvin Miller in behind the student Barney Stewart. What a story he has written this season. As for Dundee United, Ashley Maynard Brewer in goal. Looks like a back three of Vichko Cheve, Ross Graham, Christian Carestes. Across the middle, Lucas Stevenson, Pan Kamara, Emmanuel Agye and Will Ferry, and Max Waters, Christian Trapanovsky and Zach Sapsford leading the line.
Good start for Falkirk already.
Yeah. You see, Falkirk have got a chap from Heriot Watt. Super school board, they've got Tony Watt.
No offence if he's listening. He'll be hoping to see a cup win at the weekend as well. Just this Falkirk team, just so impressive, Scott. It's a shame in a way that Hearts are doing what they're doing and Motherwell are doing what they're doing. I feel like Falkirk deserve more praise, more spotlight.
Yeah, but I think throughout the football world, I think they have. The Falkirk fans obviously filling out their stadium as well, they deserve a lot of credit. I think it's been a sellout most weeks. What I think they'll be more sad about, that team will be, they'll lose a lot of their players come summer. Players will be looking at them. It's how then John McGlynn goes about replacing them and trying to get guys in, because they have came up through League One, Championship, now into the Premiership with a chance to get Falkirk into a semi-final. What an opportunity, but what a job he's done. So I've seen my old Hibs physio there now at Dundee United.
Yeah, Lucas Stevenson's trying to get patched up. He's taken a bash to the nose already. Guys like Philip Lisa on loan,
outstanding,
as well as, you say, Ben Broggio's on loan. You're going to have to use that market, don't you, and sort of just adapt when they go back to wherever they've come from.
Yeah, well, I think if you're one of the English clubs looking at teams to come up and send your young players in this country, the two teams would be Falkirk and Motherwell. For me, no getting away from that. I know Mikey Moore's performed well at Rangers, but to go to Falkirk, they play a good style of football, and what they have is they have young players who are all hungry. They maybe didn't make the grade at bigger clubs when they're younger, but they've now shown consistently that they can perform, and I think teams will be in for a lot of their players coming. So
fair play to Lucas Stevenson. He did take a whack in the nose from Calvin Miller. Not like a foul or anything like that. It's an accident, but he didn't go down. He just tracked his runner and then dealt with it, because that was a proper dunt right in the nose that he took, and it's blood pouring out of it.
Discouser, isn't he?
Yeah, hardy stuff. Right, that's Falkirk Dundee United. This doesn't qualify as a shock. There's no shock to be had here, is there?
No.
Just a couple of places. In fact, what are they? One place, sixth and seventh.
Yeah, but separated by 9 points.
So what I was getting at, though, is there to be a shock over the weekend? So you've got two obvious contenders there, Dunfermline, Aberdeen.
Yeah. I think there's a real good chance that Dunfermline could knock out Aberdeen.
Not
for me. I think I watched Aberdeen during the week, and I thought there were spells where they played well. I thought Lyle Cameron and Armstrong were good. Nisbet, obviously, if you take away that save from Sinisalo, so they performed a lot better than they had done. Dunfermline, I think they're off the back of a good weekend win in the Championship just there, but they went for a wee spell where they weren't winning games. So a hard one to call, but I think Aberdeen will come through it.
The incentive's obvious. Every team wants to win the cup. For Aberdeen, it's about retaining what they won last season, but also maybe keeping their season alive, Hugh.
Oh yeah.
If they were to go out,
the
indignity of the cup shock, where does that leave Peter Leaven? Where does it leave Aberdeen?
It leaves Aberdeen having lost 9 of their last 11 league games. It leaves Aberdeen having to concentrate on not being in the relegation playoffs. And it leaves Aberdeen 2 months on still looking for a manager to replace the one they binned.
So does it carry even more sort of pressure in jeopardy than a normal cup tie against lower league opposition?
Of
then?
Course. And having knocked out Hibs in the last round, I see no reason why Neil Lennon can't knock out a poor Aberdeen team in front of a sellout crowd.
Like, say, the other one that's just, they're not separated by loads of places in the pyramid, but it's definitely a shock if Championship knocks out Premiership, particularly Premiership, who won the League Cup earlier this season. But Partick Thistle flying high, St Mirren struggling. Has that got the makings of one, or does strength?
Potentially, yeah. I think, listen, I know Thistle have threw away some points over the last few weeks as well, so it might be a welcome distraction for both teams. St Mirren, the fall off from the Cup is quite incredible, but what they do have at home is they'll look at that going, if we can kind of impact with our physicality and that and turn Thistle, they will get more chances than having the Premiership games. But I think that is one out of them all for me, but Thistle, if they get it right, they could win that game, but I just can't see Stephen Robinson losing that at home.
I see no reason in trying to deceive the public. I hope St Mirren get gubbed.
You Partick Thistle?
Yes.
For Alec. Supporters club for Alex Wright, for Alec, Tony and Watt and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, and Tony, jeez, yeah.
Come on, St Mirren's right in our patch. We need to stay neutral in these circumstances.
Maryhill's Paisley.
I could walk to Maryhill from where I live, so.
Oh, well, then that's that. That's
my patch.
That's that sorted. And
Alec Ray gives me a lift home.
In the league, do Motherwell get the business done? Did they go 1 point behind Rangers, two behind Celtic, and seven behind Hearts?
I think Motherwell get there by the skin of their teeth.
Could be a 1-0.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Anyway, of course, we're not actually on tomorrow. It's very rare this happens, but the schedule has ripped it all apart because the cup games are all over the place. There's not a lot happening, so we're actually off. We're back Sunday, though, of course, for the game midday. Make sure you join us for the 1 o'clock kickoff, 12 o'clock. We've got a wee day out tomorrow.
Yeah.
You looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah.
So I actually wanted to mention, so Gordon DL was telling me earlier that he actually loves taking selfies with people out and about. So if you do see us out in the city centre tomorrow, make sure you approach him and only him and ask him for a picture, and he would be delighted to oblige.
But if you can do an impersonation of me, let me hear it.
You going after East Kilbride's game?
Yes,
I'll come. That can be the deal. I'll come to East Kilbride's game and I'll be your taxi.
That sounds outstanding.
I'd love to go to Dundee for the big game, but I don't think
a big game for us tomorrow. Go seven wins on the bounce.
Anyway, right, let's finish the teaser. Can you name the eight Rangers players with the most appearances who've represented a non-European country? Morelos, Arfield, Moore, Vidmar, Balogun.
Go on, you have a guess. I've got a few written down.
No, you're the top man here.
Claudio Reyna.
No, he said that earlier. God, he's not the top
man. Negra.
No.
DeMarcus Beasley.
No, the other American that you've not mentioned.
Joe Aribo.
No. Well, he's one, yes. Nigeria, yep.
Sakala.
Did you mention the other American? Have I just missed it then? There's another.
Reyna, Bocanegra, DeMarcus Beasley.
Nope.
Morris Edu,
yep. And one last one to get. Any ideas? Any inspiration?
What year?
Recent.
Recent?
Very recent.
Ooh. Don't tell me. What position?
Striker. Come on.
South America?
No. Same country as Joe Aribo.
Dessers.
Cyril Dessers. Remember him? Used to speak about him every night on this show, one way or the other.
Got a few in there.
Thank you to Hugh and Scott Allen. Still goalless between Falkirk, Dundee United. We will see you Sunday midday for the big game at Ibrox, and the GBX is up next. Have a good one.